And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Shane, I want to know if you've ever been as fired up in your damn life as this damn interim Temple coach is for this Independence Bowl.
But our football team is going to come down here ready to play. We're going to practice really hard. We're going to play really hard. I hope that we play well, but I know that we'll play hard. And we're going to find out about Duke, and we're going to find out about Temple, and we're going to find out about which one of those football clubs wants to hit each other harder longer. That's what we're going to decide here on the 27th. And while we're getting ready to do that, I hope that you see the finest group of young men that's ever been through Shreveport. I hope you have a chance to see them hold a door open for you, or say thank you for being here, or be truly appreciative, because guys, I love this team. And I love these players, and I know you will too when you get around. Please, get around our players. They are going to love you, they are going to love Shreveport, and you're going to love them. And they are going to be so appreciative of being here, guys, that it's going to be one of the greatest teams that you've ever had here, I promise you that. So we're fired up to be here. Thank you to everybody for having us.
All right, so for anyone that did not see that, I don't even know this damn guy's name. I think his name's Foley, Matt Foley, or something like that, which I thought was Chris Farley's motivational speaker guy name. It's same damn guy, maybe. But he's the interim coach there for Temple, taking over for Jeff Collins, who left for Georgia Tech. And he is ready, Shane, for this damn game. I think they're playing Duke.
Yes, they are, brother. They're going up there and going to face old Coach Cut. And this guy's all fired up because he finally gets to head coach a game. So I'm just curious if they hire somebody, would he get to finish this? Or, you know, good for him, man. I mean, he's excited. I'd be excited. You know, I got my shot. I mean, he looks like he's in at 70. So this is probably it for him. So good luck, Temple.
Well, I got to tell you, Shane, I don't know much about these damn teams, Temple and Duke here, but I'm rolling with Temple with this man behind the helm. I think they're unstoppable.
Well, they'll be pumped up, but I got a soft spot for old Coach Cut, so I think old Duke's going to take this one. Not that I'm giving away my bowl picks, but...
Okay, Shane, so jumping into SEC news, this first bit of news, this actually happened immediately after we got done recording on Sunday night. That's why we didn't hit on it then. But damn, Auburn has finally found an offensive coordinator there, Shane, on the Plains. And I don't know about you, but this is a classic Google search coach. And I say that because no one knew who in the hell this damn guy was when he got hired. His name is Kenny Dillingham. He was Memphis's offensive coordinator. He was a tight end coach only a year ago. And I looked, Shane, back, if you want to go back 5 years ago, he was the high school, basically like the equipment manager at a local high school. So there's Auburn offensive coordinator.
Can you see it? Gus is in there with a couple of his buddies and they've sent out feelers all across the country, and they got a hit with somebody, you know. He's like, what line is he on? He's on two. All right. Well, when can we get him here? He'll come now, you know. Just sneak him in the back door. So I thought your tweet was awesome, you know, because do you remember what you put there at 10 o'clock?
Yeah, because like I said, this was announced, I want to say, around a little after 10 p.m. on a Sunday evening. And I think I just said something to the effect of, you know, the best time to generate some good publicity is to announce something Sunday evening at damn near 11 o'clock at night. And that's exactly what this was, Shane. It's almost like they were trying to slide it under the radar and hope that when Monday morning rolled around, maybe, you know, SEC fans kind of were totally unaware of this one. It just seemed like they were trying to pull one off here.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, and it's sad. It really is sad because if this, let's say the year went better. Let's say that it was a year like last year and that offensive coordinator spot came open. Just think about the different list we'd be looking at, you know?
Well, and I think this speaks to the fact that, you know, Auburn, it appears to be a sinking ship, and just, I think it's really hard to not only attract someone there. I think, you know, obviously Auburn's a good school and they've got talent. It's not even, I don't even know if it's so much that as it is people don't want to work for Gus Malzahn on the offensive side because, you know, the rumors are out there. He doesn't let people run their system. So mm-hmm. What in the hell is the point of going there if you're just running his system? You might as well let him do it. And, you know, I thought that was maybe the most interesting thing of this announcement. Auburn did announce that Gus Malzahn will be calling the plays. Not really sure why they're bringing this guy in unless he, you know, maybe he's more of a quarterback's coach. But I don't know, Shane. I think the better move would have been to hire from within someone that is very familiar with Malzahn's system, and then maybe get like an elite recruiter to come in there to be your tight end coach, receiver coach, whatever. You know what I mean? That would have been the move in my mind.
Yeah, for sure. Now, did Steele go anywhere?
Kevin Steele, no, he's still the defensive coordinator. His name continues to float out there for a couple head coaching jobs. I know that that's out there, but I don't know. I don't know if Steele's going to be given another shot. He was a head coach years ago, and he was actually really bad at it at Baylor. Mm-hmm. But that was so long ago that, hell, if Will Muschamp and Hugh Freeze and all these guys are getting all these chances, I wouldn't be shocked to see Kevin Steele get another head coaching job.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out who the interim's going to be. Is it going to be this Kenny guy or is...
No, this, you know, this guy is like 26 years old or something. It's not going to be old Dylan Ham.
Okay, well, maybe Steele has an opportunity to be a head coach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just you've seen it, man. If Gus goes out 4 or 5 games in and Steele, you know, just pulls an old Coach O, you know what I'm saying?
You know, final note that I have on this one, Shane, I think one thing we need to recognize, this is going to be lost in this hire, but the fact that Mike Norvell, the Memphis head coach, you know, he just continues to win at a high level. It seems like they're in their AAC championship game every year under him. And now he's lost his offensive coordinator to Auburn. Last year, he lost his offensive coordinator to Texas A&M. He's lost his defensive coordinator. 2 years ago, he lost his offensive coordinator to Notre Dame. He lost his receivers coach last offseason to Tennessee. I mean, I think that's a sign of people really respect what's going on there at Memphis. And I think normally if you're getting your coaching staff rated and you're still winning, well, you know, obviously what's the constant there? It's Mike Norvell. So I would not be surprised, you know, let's say after we got done recording the podcast last time, you and I were spitballing just a couple coaches we were concerned about their future. Mm-hmm. Gus Malzahn was one, and certainly another name that you and I kind of threw out there was Matt Luke there at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I know this is looking ahead probably too far, but if any of the team does move on from their head coach after the 2019 season, I would not be surprised if old Mike Norvell is right at the top of their list of potential candidates to replace them.
Oh yeah, man. Well, we've talked about him, and I mean, there was rumors that he was looking at the Tennessee job last year. So, if that happens, that would be a huge gamble. Oh, you see what I did there?
I got you, Shane. All right, Shane, let's jump to Alabama where we got some coaching news in Tuscaloosa, where obviously Mike Locksley has left the program, but I think he's going to coach it out. He's going to coach the playoff there against Oklahoma, and if they win, then the winner of Clemson Notre Dame, he'll stay on for that one as well. But it appears this is not official, but it's being reported everywhere that Dan Enos, the quarterback coach, is going to be named the new offensive coordinator there at Alabama. It's something that I think everyone saw coming. I don't think Nick Saban was really going to let this guy get away. What are your thoughts on Dan Enos getting the job there at Alabama?
Oh, not surprised at all. I mean, there was a small window. I was like, I hope we get him. But when Locksley took that Maryland job, it was no question. And I'm telling you what, man, not a lot of credit goes down there to Nick Saban. I know we talk about his disciples and stuff like that, but I mean, you talk about a machine. This coaching wheel that they've got going down there. I mean, if you want a job, just go to Alabama for a year or 2 years. I mean, we got grad assistants getting jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is, Shane. And, you know, it helps that you've got some of the best players in the country to, you know, to coach. I think with this move, promoting Enos, I think, you know, obviously Alabama just lost the Frank Broyles winner and Mike Locksley. How often can you say you lose the guy that wins the Coach of the Year, Assistant Coach of the Year award, and they've upgraded? I think that's what happened, and I think that's a scary thought there for the rest of the SEC in 2019.
Well, yeah, I will say, though, Locksley set the bar. So, I mean, if Bama comes out, I mean, if they're not putting 50 points on the board next year, there's going to be some upset. I know it sounds crazy, but there will be some upset Bama fans.
Now, Shane, I know this is we'll get into a little bit more recruiting here in just a moment here, but wanted to throw this out there while we're talking on Alabama. But the Crimson Tide currently have more top 100 prospects committed. I think they've got about 11 of those guys, 10 or 11 of the top 100. Mm-hmm. And that's more than the entire Pac-12 conference combined.
Oh, my God. How old is Nick Saban again? I'm just curious. I got a calendar here.
67.
67. Golly, man. I mean, there's potential this coach may go to 80. I mean, just, you know what I'm saying? I hope he doesn't. But this thing, it's just not slowing down. I'm glad there's a few other teams out there that are you know, I mean, see what you want. 11's great, but there's a lot of other teams out there that's got a lot of recruits, and at least they're not running away with all of it. But it's so tough to compete against a team like that.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Oxford. We got quite a bit of news there for Ole Miss as well. Since we've last recorded, the Ole Miss has officially named Mike McIntyre, the former Colorado coach, as the defensive coordinator. And here's one thing I did not realize about him. I knew he was 2016. He won some Coach of the Year awards because Colorado went 10-3. But what I didn't know is in 2009, he won some Assistant Coach of the Year awards when he was the defensive coordinator for Duke under David Cutcliffe. So that's kind of impressive. I think I don't know if that necessarily means he's definitely going to do well at Ole Miss, but I think that's solid that he's held that role before and he's done, you know, very well with it. And he's actually worked with Matt Luke on that Duke staff, so that's interesting. But I think the more fascinating thing here for Ole Miss, this happened on Wednesday, but their offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, he's left the program. He's going to North Carolina, Shane, to team up with Mack Brown. And this is an interesting move because Ole Miss, the last 2 years, they've had top 12 defenses. If you want to go, you know, advanced analytics and the SMP Plus, you know, this year Ole Miss had the number 12 offense in the nation. Last year they had the number 9 offense in the nation, and that's even more remarkable when you realize that Shea Patterson was lost for the season last year, so they did that with a backup quarterback. However, you know, the Rebels have really struggled in the red zone. They struggle on third down, and this year it really came to a head. Anytime they played a good defense, they couldn't do shit.
Mm-hmm.
The Ole Miss fans are seeing they were kind of over Phil Longo, but Shane, they're losing Te'amu. He's graduating. AJ Brown leaving for the NFL. DeMarcus Lodge leaving for the NFL. The tight end Dalton Knox likely to leave for the NFL. Their left tackle, who just announced he's going to the NFL. I mean, they're losing all these damn guys. Now they've lost their coordinator. Ole Miss fans may have not been in Phil Longo's corner, but whoever this next offensive coordinator is going to be, I think he's just headed for a damn disaster.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, this one I'm worried about. like the like almost like Arkansas was this year. It's just the cupboards are bare, and now you've got, I mean, what you're hanging your hat on was that offense, and you've lost all your talent. You've got a new, you're going to get a new OC. I don't know, man. Ole Miss, they may be in trouble, man. Mm-hmm. And kudos to Mac Brown. I mean, he got Longo, Lonnie Galloway, Brandon Jones. He got a lot of good coaches down there. So you can't ever count old Mac Brown out.
And he was the one, Shane, that stole Texas A&M's tight end coach Tim Brewster as well, who was A&M's best recruiter, I thought. So, yeah, I mean, Mac Brown, you know, I kind of scoffed at that hire. I think a lot of people did, but so far so good, Shane. I mean, he's stealing recruits from Tennessee, or he's stolen one recruit from Tennessee at least. And I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about North Carolina, but, you know, they're building the right staff at least, and that's a step in the right direction.
For sure. And I mean, the location, I don't want to get veer too much off, but if North Carolina does become somewhat of a flashy, exciting team to be at, I mean, they're in a killer spot as far as recruits. There's a lot of recruits that come out of North Carolina.
Last thing I got here on Ole Miss, Shane, Jerron Ealy, their highest rated commit right now. He's a 4-star running back. Took an official visit to Mississippi State over the weekend. And I don't want to say he's going to flip, but, oh, man, if you're talking about Ole Miss heading to some struggles on offense, losing their highest-rated commit to the in-state Mississippi State rival, that, I mean, things, and now they don't have an offensive coordinator to sell to him. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, early signing period is 1 week from today. So, I don't know. That's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Now, does he have a planned date that he was going to announce, or is it just kind of still up in the air right now?
Well, I mean, he's committed to Ole Miss, so I don't know. He may just stick with it, but it would make me uneasy if there's visiting the in-state rival, you know, right before the signing period.
For sure, man. I'd be on the edge of my seat.
All right, Shane, so we actually had a little bit of, a press conference, actually, because Ed Orgeron, the timing and the dates of these are all kind of all wonky right now. So that's why we're not hitting you guys with some press conference information, because it's just not out there. But on Tuesday, Ed Orgeron did hold his press conference for the upcoming Fiesta Bowl against UCF. And, he hit on a few good notes here. We're not going to include it all because, he went on for damn 25 minutes here, Shane. But I thought when it comes to the game, he was asked, last year, UCF beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl, and the narrative after that game was all, well, hell, Auburn lost the SEC championship game. They were kind of deflated. You know, it was kind of an excuse. I think it's a valid excuse to some extent, but still an excuse. And now they're asking Coach O, is that going to happen to your team after losing that 7 overtime thriller? And Coach O said, they feel like they won that game. They're pissed off. That's all the motivation they need. With the fact that, Greedy Williams is sitting out the game, are you concerned at all that LSU would be motivated to end UCF's 25-game win streak?
No. I mean, LSU better smoke this damn team. That's all I got to say, Mike. And I think they will. I think the biggest reason that they will is because UCF's without their quarterback. You know, I mean, he barely got through that championship game against Memphis, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they were down quite a bit. And I just don't think that you can score that many points on this defense. And I know Greedy's a big part of that defense, but, I mean, they've got a lot of talent over there. And it all starts with Devin White, man. He's a captain. He's leading these guys.
Yeah, and that's where I was going next, Shane, because Coach O, a lot of people don't realize he was on the Miami staff when Ray Lewis was a player. And, of course, SEC fans should remember he was the Ole Miss coach when Patrick Willis was on the Rebels. And for my money, I always thought Patrick Willis was probably the best SEC linebacker I ever saw. I mean, that guy, he was doing it on a team that sucked, but he certainly didn't. He was a 2-time All-American. But anyway, during today's presser, he was asked, is Devin White, where does he stack up? He said, right up there with those two names, Patrick Willis, Ray Lewis, would you? And he thinks he's going to be a hell of a professional player. He's not yet declared for the NFL or anything, but I think everyone kind of sees that one coming. Where would you put Devin White, Shane, in some of the better linebackers that you've seen in recent SEC history?
Oh, that's a great. You know what? Who he reminds me of? And I don't want to sound like a homer, but I am. But Al Wilson, just because he was just such a focal point on that defense. He was such a team captain. I mean, he motivated those guys and made them play better. Mm-hmm. And that's who he kind of reminds me of. But, you know, there's been a lot of great linebackers come through. He kind of also reminds me just the tenacity of, remember Takiya Spikes?
Oh, yeah.
You know, just a motor that goes 100 miles an hour. So, there's a lot to compare him to, but I'm going to have to go with Al just because of, it just seems like he has so much control of that defense.
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe I don't remember Al Wilson that well, but it just seems like Devin White, for as big as he is, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone move as quick as he can. I mean, he'll get in the backfield, he can swing, you know, swing passes. He's just on the guy by the time he catches the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He is just so damn fast. That's why I kind of like that Ray Lewis comparison, because that's what I recall from him. It just seemed like that guy, it didn't matter sideline to sideline, he was all over the ball carrier.
Right.
And that's kind of what I see in Devin White, you know, minus the murder. You
know. Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't fair to go with Al because obviously physically they're two different specimens, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it just the way he plays reminds me of him. So, but yeah, you're right. Big boy, can move fast. Maybe the Takiya Spikes was a little closer, you know. But yeah, I think you're right, man. I mean, he is the one of the fastest linebackers. Maybe not like to 40, but he's just so twitchy and quick, you know, for a big guy.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, Shane, that you kind of go back to Al Wilson. He's kind of an old-school linebacker, because that was almost exactly what Coach O had to say, you know, when he was asked, what are your thoughts on Greedy Williams, your outstanding cornerback, sitting the game out, and, you know, Devin White deciding to play. So here we actually do have the quotes here, so we're going to play this for you, but I thought this was pretty interesting comments here from Coach O.
You know, here's what I'm going to say. I'm old-fashioned, and I think that the team comes first, but, you know, I definitely understand that, you know, a guy's a possible top 10 pick. Everybody's situation is different. You know, Greedy's a father already, and that was a family decision that he made, so, you know, I didn't go against it. I said, you know, that's your decision. Here's what I think. It's got to be in your heart. You got to want to be practicing for 15 practices. You got to be, want to be here. You got to be, want to be with your team. If you don't want to be here, I really don't want you around, because we want a positive atmosphere with our football team. We want guys going hard, getting better. And so if a guy decides, you know, he's done, I'd like him to tell me ahead of time, which I honor that you're done. And that's what I told him. Hey, you're done. I got it. We got to move on. This is our football team. We got to move on. So I'm not mad at him. You know, do I agree with it? Not necessarily, but everybody's different, and I understood his situation.
All right, Shane. So he's not really calling Greedy out, but I think it's pretty clear that he's, well, I would say, a little bit bothered by this trend of players sitting the bowl game out.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of like Coach O. I'm old school too, and you know, I've let it be known that I think you should play. You know, there's a lot of people on this team, but I don't know if it's all these Hallmark Christmas movies my wife's got me watching. You know, he's got kids, and I get it. You know, if you told me if I go somewhere, it has potential to, you know, set my family back, you know, a couple mil, then yeah, maybe I'm weighing those options. And there's a lot of players. We talked about Greedy. We talked about Debo. We even talked about Greer. Greer's got kids too, you know? So, mm-hmm. I get it. If you're playing for your family, I get it. Now, if you're a single man, And you know what I'm saying? You better get your ass out there, man. You know?
Well, yeah, it was interesting, Shay, because, you know, just the fact, these comments that he made, you know, he's got a, he can't bury the damn guy because he's still, you know, at the end of the day, he's still an LSU guy who gave a lot, and he's going to be proud of him no matter what he does. You know, hopefully he does well at the NFL level, but he'll, you know, I'm sure Coach O will always welcome him back. But, you know, based on his comments of Devin White saying, you know, he's proud of him for playing and doing what he's supposed to do, I mean, it is quite clear where Coach O comes down on this. But I just thought that was interesting to, you know, get a lot of times these coaches kind of BS and don't really speak from the heart. But on the flip side, Devin White, he himself was asked about Greedy Williams and his decision to sit out the bowl game. And, you know, you're not alone, Shane. I hear this from a ton of people who like to point out that, you know, he's letting his teammates down essentially by not playing. So here's one of his teammates' thoughts on that, on Greedy sitting it out. And I thought this was pretty interesting as well.
I would like for people not to do that because, I mean, at the end of the day, we're two different people. You know, we play for two different reasons. You know, we step on the field, and, you know, I respect his reason. You know, I talked to him, you know, when he was making his decision, when he told me, you know, he felt like he was ready to go pro, and, you know, he felt like he shouldn't play in the game because of a lot of past, you know, incidents with a lot of other top players at their position. And, I mean, you know, I'm around his daughter just as much as he is, and, you know, I couldn't do nothing but respect it. You know, me and Greedy, you know, we was together, you know, before he came out with it. And, I mean, he cried like a baby. Like, you know, that's how much he wanted to be around us. And, you know, that's what a lot of people didn't know, like, that it wasn't an easy decision for him. And, you know, I respected what he did because, you know, watching him grow up, you know, I got pictures from me and him was little. And, you know, I know it meant a lot to him to, you know, be able to put himself in this position. You know, he didn't even get to play as a true freshman. You know, he had a lot of guys that was better than him playing. But, you know, he never complained, and now it's his time to go do something special. You know, I feel like he did a lot for this program. You know, as far as the cornerback position, you know, you can put him up there with any of the greats that you talk about. And I feel like he left it a better place than when he came. So I can't do nothing but thank him and, you know, tell him I love him for what he did for LSU and, you know, to go chase his dreams. And, you know, hopefully he, you know, the number one cornerback, which I know he will be the number one cornerback off the board. And, you know, he'll take care of his daughter and his family for the rest of his life.
All right, Shane. So, yeah, that's just kind of a really interesting look at it, how, you know, Devin White does not look down on Greedy for making this tough decision. You heard it there. He said Greedy was basically crying with this decision.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of like you referenced, Coach O referenced, I mean, he's got children to think about. So I think that's, you know, when people, we've kind of gone back and forth on this, people rip these players, but it's just, I don't think it's a really as easy of a thing as people make it out to be anymore. You just don't know a lot of these guys' situations. You know, I mean, what's his parents' situation? What's his brothers and sisters' situation? I mean, he may have, you know, several brothers and sisters who live in a 2-bedroom apartment. You know what I mean? And like, and that's on top of him having a child himself. Like, that's just an example, but you just don't know. And that's another big reason that I don't like calling these guys out, because hell, if he does get hurt, you know, there goes all that money, but he's going to have people on Twitter, you know, thanking him for playing. I mean, that's not worth a shit. You know what I mean?
Exactly, man. Exactly. Well, I mean, it's not, you're not sitting one game out. You're sitting 15, 16 practices and a game out. I mean, most injuries happen on the practice field. So you cut all that out. And I just thought it was, I don't know, just Devin coming out and talking like this. Devin talked like a coach. And Coach O just said, you know, you could tell he's totally against it. He had his shit boxed up right when he found out he wasn't going to play. You know what I'm saying? and Devin's coming out and saying what you would think a coach would say is like, hey, man, he's, you know, he's got a family. He was crying. He was emotional. He wants to do this, but he's got to think of himself right now because it is a big deal. If you blow your knee out in one of these practices, then you're talking millions of dollars, man. And then there's potential that you don't make it back. So, I mean, the more I think about it, the more I'm with Gritty here. Like I said, he's got a kid. Now, if you don't, then you're playing. Period.
Well, Shane, speaking of someone that does not have any kids, let's jump to Knoxville, where old Kyle Phillips won himself the Peisman Trophy. Now, for anyone that's not familiar with this, this is an annual award that SB Nation hands out to basically the fattest guy that scores a touchdown. And, you know, in all sincerity, Kyle Phillips is not a fat guy. It's for linemen is what it is. And I think they typically like to give it to offensive linemen that catch touchdown passes, because, you know, that seemed like for a couple of years that was a weird trend going on. But Kyle Phillips had a amazing pick six of Jalen Hurts, and he even gives him a little personal shout out to Hurts in his acceptance video, and we're going to share the audio with you right here.
On behalf of us big guys out there, offensive linemen and defensive linemen, I'm honored to take the 2018 Peisman Trophy Award. I would like to thank SB Nation for making this award possible for us big guys. A lot of big guys don't get a lot of credit. Man, it's a good pie. But also, I would love to thank my teammates, Jalen Hurts, for throwing me the ball. And I would like to thank our fans for voting for me. It's been a great ride. Go Vols.
So, Shane, this was pretty awesome, didn't you think?
I loved it, man. I didn't even know this was a thing. And then when I saw him, you know, showing the, like, he was one of the finalists, I was like, God, there's no way he doesn't get it. Because if you didn't see it, it was against Bama, and it was a hell of a run. I mean, it was probably the strongest run we had all year. And I love it.
It's probably the strongest play Tennessee's had against Alabama in a decade.
Oh, for sure, man. I just thought it was great to give these big boys some recognition, because they don't get any loving. The Heismans, it just doesn't happen. I remember growing up, I was a big fan of what's his name? Obviously not a huge fan, but the Ohio State lineman. He was a finalist.
Orlando Pace?
Yes, Orlando Pace. Orlando Pace. I was a huge fan of him. And there was a couple of highlight reels that I saw. And, I mean, I'm a high school player. I mean, I was going into high school, and I was like, golly, I'd love to be like that one day. You know what I'm saying? And he made it a finalist. I was hoping that he'd have a chance, but he didn't have a chance. These linemen don't have options. So I'm glad they came up with an award, and I think it's hilarious. It's called the Peisman. And, you know, I mean, Tennessee may not have any Heisman winners, but we at least got a Peisman winner.
All right, Shane, final note here around the league. Vanderbilt is named a new athletic director, and they went with the guy off the radar here. He was named by Malcolm Turner, who was the president of the NBA's G League, which is like their damn developmental league or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, Shane. I mean, this just seems like an odd choice to go and pull a NBA executive, but I'm sure I'm not asking you to break down the decision here, but just what are your thoughts on what does that really say to you? I mean, I don't know. I would think you'd want someone with a football background, but I don't know. Maybe they're going for the basketball hire here.
That just goes to show how much they care about the football program, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you hire somebody like this, and, you know, there's a lot of people that respect Malcolm Turner and what he's done. But, you know, they didn't even make a big deal of it. There was no pressers. There was no nothing. It was just, yeah, we hired a guy, you know, just sent out an email. We got one. So it's like they didn't even want to promote it or anything like that. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of sad here in the SEC.
That's something, Shane, that actually here in Nashville, I saw plenty of local media bitch about. And I think they're right. Just like you said there, I mean, Vanderbilt did not even hold a damn press conference. How they announced this, Shane, they had a teleconference, so you could, like, dial in the phone, and they kind of would tell you over the phone. I mean, why not introduce this guy? I mean, give him questions to answer. People want to meet this guy, and you know, think about, I know Tennessee is in a sad state at the moment, but hell, think about this time last year, Shane, when Fulmer became AD. I mean, it was all over every, you know, radio station, every TV station. I mean, there was a I don't know how many hundred people showed up for his damn press conference just to hear what the man said and just to hear his thoughts on the coaching search and all this. But And then on the flip side, you got to call into a service and find out the guy's I don't know. It just kind of says it all right there.
Well, I mean, who's paying the bills, Mike? The SEC is paying the bills. And it's not, I mean, as much as I love basketball, especially right now, it is, that's not it. It's a football ran industry. And the fact that they went out and they hired a basketball guy to run their athletic department, what do you think his focus is going to be on? I mean, unless he just grew up a huge football fan and, you know, this, maybe he knows, has some connections, and he's thinking about, you know, really getting into this side. I don't see it. I see them focusing on basketball, and that's not what keeps the lights on, brother.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Georgia, where the defending SEC East champions, man, they got a lot going on, especially on the recruiting front, Shane. And let's start with the commitment of Clay Webb. If you're not familiar with him, he's a five-star athlete, number one center in the nation. And that's so huge, Shane, because Georgia's senior center, Lamont Gilliard, he's going to graduate. So he's going to be in the NFL next year. So there's going to be a hole right there. And I think this Clay Webb is good enough to potentially start day one. Of course, he's going to be, you know, being coached by Sam Pittman, the best offensive line coach in the nation, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason why this is so damn big, Shane, Clay Webb is from Alabama, long time considered to be Alabama, Auburn, and Clemson got into the mix. It was down to basically those three, everyone thought. Georgia turned up the heat there at the end, and they get their man. Thoughts on Georgia just getting the best offensive lineman in the state of Alabama?
That's huge, man. I mean, I don't think you realize just how big that is. I didn't know how big it was until I saw Twitter reacting last night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Georgia fans were coming out of the woodworks. They are excited about this guy, and they should be. I mean, this kid's a stud, and he's across enemy lines, man.
Yeah, and, you know, we were kind of hyping up Alabama's recruiting, but at the same time, Georgia's right there. They're number two in the nation now following this commitment of Clay Webb. And I don't know, Shane, if you want to say, you know, come join the dynasty led by this damn near 70-year-old man, or you want to join the new dynasty, you know, Georgia is basically the nation's hope at defeating Alabama because no one else can damn do it. Join the team that's going to dethrone them. That seems to be a very popular pitch. And hell, it's just working here once again with Clay Webb. Right there, Georgia and Alabama, it looks like the next damn decade are just going to go head-to-head for all these guys. And like I said, there's a lot of momentum there for Georgia. And here we also got Nolan Smith, Shane, the number one player in the nation. He is a Georgia commit already, but he announced, you know, firmly committed, shutting it down. So that was great news. Follow that up, a five-star defensive tackle, Trayvon Walker, also a Georgia commit, said he's shutting it down. Trey Sanders, the number one running back, Shane, we hit on him where, you know, he was in Athens over the weekend. He's a high school teammate of Nolan Smith. And after Clay Webb announced his commitment, I don't know if Trey Sanders was kind of, a lot of these guys play up for attention. Maybe that's all he's doing, but he did tweet out there, you know, y'all got room for me. And that just sent Georgia going even crazier. Because you're talking damn running back, you adding the number one running back to, they've already got about 3 5-star running backs already on their, in their damn depth chart. How big would it be for Georgia to get yet another elite running back?
So how many will they have? Let's just say everybody comes back. What's the potential backfield going to look like here?
Here's a potential lineup for Georgia next year. DeAndre Swift, who was a 5-star. Zamir White, 5-star, number one last year, who he hurt his knee in leading up to fall camp, I think it was. I think he hurt it in the spring. He basically missed all of the year. James Cook, who we didn't see a ton this year, but he sounds like he's a great player. Trey Sanders, obviously number one running back this year. Elijah Holyfield, who he could go to the NFL, but he could come back. Brian Herrien, who's also a four-star, and Kenny McIntosh, who's also a four-star.
That is unbelievable. I mean, when's the last time Georgia ran wishbone? You know, because they may need to go back to this. Just get them all out there and do little dives and, you know, just trick plays. I mean, that's a ton of talent, man. That's unbelievable. Now, I'm surprised people. I mean, I get it. You've got a ton of Georgia running backs going to the next level, but I mean, eventually it does get a little crowded. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Coach Leach was trying to get that quarterback, and the guy wanted to go to Bama, and he says, "Do you want to be a backup, or do you want to lead the country in passing?" You know, it just feels like why aren't other coaches saying this to these running backs? I mean, I get it. They got Chubb, they got Sony Michel, they got all these cats going into the league, but yeah, that's a lot of mouths to feed, Mark.
Now, we're not even done here, Shane, with the Georgia recruiting news, because number one receiver in the nation, Jadon Hazelwood, he's a guy that he did visit Tennessee last weekend, but he's announced his top five. Georgia, Tennessee have both made it. Those are the only two teams in the SEC. Oklahoma, Florida State, Miami round out his top five. He's going to be visiting Georgia this upcoming weekend, which is huge because, like I said, a week from today is the early signing period. A four-star linebacker who he is a Georgia commit already, but some people saying he's 50-50 to Tennessee. Tresman Marshall, one of the best inside linebackers in the nation. He is going to take a visit to Georgia. He's already committed to Georgia, so the Bulldogs have got to feel good there. I mean, it's almost like every elite recruit they have committed already is committed, and they're just working to seal up number one running back, number one receiver, basically any number one that's out there that's available, maybe headed to Georgia here in the next week or two.
God, man, this is the most depressing show I've been on yet. I mean, this is depressing. Is there any South Carolina recruits we can talk about, or Mississippi State recruits? Anybody else? Because obviously we know Georgia and Alabama are going to be loaded again. They got the pick of the litter, but who's getting these runs?
Well, how about this, Shane? Chris Steele from California, who I believe he was at one time committed to USC. He's been decommitted for quite a while now. He's trending to Florida. So Florida, okay. Number five quarterback in the nation. He's also got South Carolina. They're after him big time. So Florida, South Carolina, USC once again, Oregon and Oklahoma. They round out his top five. And here's a new trend, Shane. This is kind of odd. I don't know how this is going to go over. I think the secret is going to come out for a lot of these guys. But apparently what many of these recruits are planning to do is they are going to sign during the early signing period, just ask their schools to like not tell anybody, and then when the All-American games, there's a U.S. Army All-American game and the Under Armour All-American game, those happen right around January 1st. They're going to announce it publicly during those, but like I said, they'll be signed 2 weeks prior, so I don't know. I think the word's going to leak out on all these guys. I don't want their moments to be ruined, but I just feel like that's kind of inevitable once you sign with the school. I mean, the janitor, the receptionist, somebody's going to say something.
Checking the UT website for their email. Yeah, I've been there. it will get out and it will lose its it'll lose its impact. But when is that game? That's 1st of January.
Yeah, they're usually on the same, either the same day or one right after the other. And they're usually leading up to the New Year's Day bowl games.
Okay, because there's quite a few uncommitted playing that game. So, and there's a few talking about, announcing during those games. And I don't know if it's this, what you're talking about, this, they already signed the letter and they're going to do it then. It may be, but that may be a game to tune in just to see where some of these boys land up.
Oh, definitely. All right, Shane, that's about all I got on this one. A little light on news, but this is just kind of the downtime of the SEC calendar. It's going to heat back up with some bowl games coming up, and obviously The early signing period, we're going to have a ton to talk about there next week. You got anything before we jump off here?
Yeah, buddy. Well, again, appreciate everybody hanging out with us. And, you know, it will be depressing unless you're a Georgia or a Bama fan and you may listen to it twice. But hopefully the other guys didn't turn this thing off and they're still with us, because we had an interesting request online on Twitter. And I want to give him a shout out here. Just pause it here for a second. I'm going to find it.
All right.
This is, it came from at DUI Quick. Oh, killer name. But no, he came up with the idea about us doing these bowl pick'ems. And if you're not familiar, on ESPN, they have a, who is sponsoring that thing, by the way? Do you know? Is it Capital One, I think? Capital One's got a Bowl Mania pick. And what we've done is we've started a group. The group is That SEC Podcast. So if you guys get on there, you have to have an ESPN login, of course, so you can create your little account. But once you get on there, find this Capital One Bowl Mania. It's free to enter. Just a side note, not that we're putting this money up, but the winner, if you get all 41 games correct, you win $1 million. So it's definitely worth, you know, worth doing that. So, but when you get on there, sorry, you can enter a group, and our group name again is That SEC Podcast. And the password is lowercase, all one word, Go Vols. That's GOVOLS. So if you're a fan of someone else, I apologize, but you know, I made the password, so that's it. Go Vols. But if you can't, if you forget all that, or if you're having trouble, if you get onto our Reddit page, That SEC Podcast, I've posted the link, so you can just click on the link and it takes you straight in there. So just know this, that you have to have an ESPN account. So it's a little work, but damn, boys, it's $1 million. So get on there. Join our group, have some fun. Good luck keeping up, because I think I'm going to run away with this thing, Mark.
Yeah, we may have some prizes, Shane. Prize for the winner, and a prize for the one that comes in dead last.
Well, you know my address.
All right, Shane, that's all I got. Thanks for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.